Good morning. Welcome to Coffee Break with Tej. It's Thursday. I almost said Wednesday. I'm a day late, but it's Thursday, May 17, 2012. Guardian Radio 96.9. Tell a friend to tune in to Coffee Break with Tej right now, and we're about to drop some knowledge, of course. And also streaming live on Guardian Talk Radio. And sitting here with me, I have a renewable energy. I'm going to call him a specialist. Renewable energy specialist, JP McKilson. JP, how you doing this morning, man?
Good morning, Tej. Everything good?
Everything is good, man. And, you know, we just want to talk about renewable energy today. I'm sure a lot of people want to know about renewable energy, BEC. It's summer again. And last year summer, we had consistent rolling blackouts. Yeah. And a lot of people feel like we need to take a new direction as far as energy goes. And so we're going to talk about renewable energy for a second. Is the Bahamas behind in the world when it comes to utilizing our renewable energy sources? Are we behind?
Yeah, I think we are. Knowing where we live, the type of weather we have, I think we definitely could do a lot more.
Yeah. And, I mean, when you look at our flag is it's black, aquamarine, and gold. And gold can mean two things. It can mean the sun or the sand. I like to think of it as the sun, and the aquamarine is the water, and so solar and hydro, but we don't utilize much of any of them as far as energy goes.
Let me put it like this. I think we don't use enough of it.
We don't use enough of it.
There are some applications out there right now, especially on the solar side, but is it mainstream yet? No, it isn't, and we need to make sure that it becomes mainstream so we can actually have the average Bahamian and make a profit out of their solar installations.
Definitely. You know, when I think about utilizing our renewable energy sources, sometimes I think like the weather is it can be inconsistent sometimes. And that may pose a problem when it comes to solar power or hydro.
Not really, you know.
Not really?
No, I mean, you have to look at the efficiency of the panels these days. You mm-hmm. don't really need sunshine. You need sunlight. And obviously, we have day and night. So as soon as the sun comes up, whether there's cloud or not, we're still going to get some efficiency and some generation through the panel themselves. So I don't know. The weather has very little impact on what you can do with a solar system.
Yeah. Okay. See, I had no clue. I had no clue about that. I just thought that you need direct sunlight or sunshine, and
you're going to get maximum efficiency out of the panel if you have sunshine. But no, the fact of the matter remains, if you have sunlight, you will generate hot water through a solar panel.
Okay, cool. And if anybody out there wants to chime in on our discussion, ask questions, or make a comment, the number to call is 323-8160 or 323-8169. And, you know, like, I do whatever I can do right now, man. I'm not going to even lie to you. I switched up my bulbs. I have these energy efficient bulbs right now. Mm-hmm. I put them all over the house, really.
And, well, you should. I mean, anyone that still uses incandescent light bulbs, they're not serious about saving energy or money for that matter.
Right, and I put them everywhere. You can't find one light in my house that isn't energy efficient, one light bulb. And my power bill hasn't seemed to reflect that I'm trying. You know, is there a reason for that, man?
Or, yeah, there is. You're not trying hard enough, obviously. I mean, if you change out your incandescent light bulbs to CFL light bulbs or LEDs, you're going to get a small gain in the amount of power that you use or less.
A small gain?
Well, you're talking about 1% or 2% on your total light bill on a yearly base. So you're not going to really see that. Now, if you're talking about hot water generation through a solar panel, now you're talking serious stuff. Now you're talking 15-20% of your BEC bill on a monthly basis that will disappear.
Okay. And you're CEO of Bahamas Energy Solutions.
Yes.
And so you specialize in this, and you supply, don't you?
Or we do.
You
we
do supply.
We do.
And how did you get into...
Just for the same reason, the same reason you just said about 5-6 years ago, I got my BEC bill every month and I nearly fell back. So, it's one thing to start shouting at your wife and saying, like, don't put the AC this high and don't do this and don't do that. Keep the windows closed when you put on the AC.
Right.
But it's a whole different thing when you look at the average consumption that you have. Mm-hmm. So we started thinking there has to be a better way to do this. And obviously there was. We started reading up on it. We started educating ourselves, and we came up with Bahamas Energy Solutions, and here we are trying to educate the average man in the
street. Just 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and you got it off the ground that quick?
Yeah, because there was a need. There was a need. And now, did the business become profitable from day one? Of course not, because first of all, what we needed to do was educate people that really didn't know, just like we did before we started this business, what is out there? What can be done to lower your energy cost on a monthly basis?
Right. And I mean, you say 5-6 years ago, so you educated yourself and then you went forward with it.
Right.
Did you have any interest before then into renewable energy?
Not really.
Not really.
Not really. No, because it's not really my field. We didn't start out like that. And Bahamas Energy Solutions right now, we have a number of components within the renewable as well as outside of renewable that are energy saving. But I don't want to talk about my business. I want to talk about what's available to the person in the street and how they can make their life a little bit
better. Yep, because I'm sure a lot of people in the streets, they had the same reaction that you had 5-6 years ago when they saw their BEC bill. They're like, we have to do something. But, you know, some things are not available to some people to go ahead and do something. And that's where you come into play.
Right.
You know, and, you know, what can be done, really? Because I'm trying to do it. You know, what can be done to lower my bill at this point?
Well, the first thing you need to do, Tish, is it's very simple. Like we do, and we do it free of charge. We go into somebody's house or business and see what is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start looking at what are the biggest components that are zapping their power usage on a daily basis. Once you have an energy audit done, then you can start putting in components, and depending on the people's budget at that time, you can stagger it. You can go, okay, let's start with the most obvious, insulation. Let's start with what are you doing on a daily basis to curb that energy usage. And then we give them advice. But if, like I said, in most cases, if they start with hot water generation through solar, which is a no-brainer in this country, every house should have their hot water generation done by solar panels.
Their hot water?
Yes. And then once you have that, now you can start going into the PV, the photovoltaic paneling, and actually start generating real electricity.
So you're saying it should be a start.
You need to start somewhere. You had your start with changing out your light bulb.
But you're telling me that's not a start. You're telling me that's barely a start.
Listen, it's better than nothing.
Right.
It's better than nothing. Now, is it going to really show on your bill? Not really.
I thought it was, man. The way that people were talking about it, I watched commercials. I looked online. They said, oh, you're going to save tons on your electricity bill.
No.
And I did it, and nada.
No. No, no. And on top of that, CFLs is really a thing of the past already. If you look within the field of lighting, now the best thing that you can get is LEDs.
Right.
And the people that, like yourself, who have changed out to CFLs are now going into the LED side because they don't heat up, so you have no additional heat load coming from your lights in your house.
323-8160, 323-8169. I'm here with JP McKilson, and I'm glad I have him on today because I'm taking notes. I have my pen, I have my paper, and I'm looking to lower my BEC bill, especially this summer. Every summer it kills me almost.
Yeah, and I'm sure that it kills most people.
Of course.
If you're looking at the price we pay per kilowatt hour to the utility company, it's horrendous. You know, you're paying 3-4 times more than what the average U.S. citizen in South Florida pays. So every kilowatt hour you can take of your bill, yes, you're putting money back in your pocket.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you know, I'm not looking forward to the summer just for that alone because it's humid here in Nassau, you know, and you need air conditioning. Well, yeah. I do. It's not a necessity. It's a luxury, but it's a luxury that I feel like need.
We all do.
Right. And, BC can't even handle the loads sometimes during the summer.
And that's where and this is not renewable, but this is energy. If you're talking about BC cannot handle the load that they require to supply the grid. Just imagine if the average citizen has one or two PV panels on their house and their consumption is not that high, which means they can they can resupply BC, the power that they generate through their panels. They can put it back on the grid, and it's called reverse metering. It's being done in Europe and in the US for years. Yeah. And just imagine your BC bill is going to go down to the point where BC might just owe you a couple of dollars.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people want to know about that. Because you just... Now I'm gonna open up my computer now, and I'm going to start typing, because you just said BC can owe us a few dollars.
Yeah, I mean, it's called reverse metering.
Is that reverse metering? Is that something that I could get arrested for? The police would the police take me away for that?
Right now, as the law stands, they probably can.
So
there needs to be some amendments made to the law that's on the books right now, and the reason why those laws are there is basically to protect the persons involved. That includes the user as well as BC. You need to control these things. You're talking about power, you're talking about electricity, and you can still die by not doing it properly if you miss wiring. That's why you need to make sure that when you go into the PV site on your house or your office, that it's installed by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Definitely.
But the law, I think with the new administration coming in now, I think the law might just be changed, because I think there's a push now to go into the renewable and the green way of doing things.
Definitely, yeah. And I'm looking forward to that. Just to let people know, last year, mm-hmm. BEC invested about $6 million to rent additional generators to handle the load. This was last summer.
Yep.
$6 million.
Yeah.
But we paid for that.
Yes, we did.
We paid, you know.
Well, it will be hidden in your bill. And it will be hidden in one way, shape, or form. It could be called fuel surcharge. There's one thing, I mean... Yes, they spent $6 million, but I don't think they had a choice, and I don't think they'll have a choice this year, because obviously there's nothing worse for the average citizen to come home and have no power simply because we're going through rolling blackouts or brownouts, as we call them. Right. So the need for energy will only grow.
Definitely,
it will only grow.
The blackouts. Yeah. They rented additional generators. $6 million they paid to rent additional generators, and we still were blacking out almost every other day.
Yeah, but I think
this is concerning, though.
It is very concerning. But if you look at, it's going to take a lot of capital expenditure for BC to buy new generators, to add generators to their existing Clifton Pier plant and other plants, and that's going to take time. Obviously, the country's gone through 5 years of hardship. Because of the global recession. So it's going to take time for BC to get that capital, or the capital to do their capital expenditure and stop renting those mobile generators and actually build on. Now, if they're going to build on, they might as well look at some of the renewables that are out there instead of a fossil fuel generation.
Yeah, and I read in The Guardian just the other day, I think it was right before election, mm-hmm. that a $23.7 million contract was put out to provide a 24 megawatt combustion turbine.
Fossil fuel. Yeah.
And that's just going to cost us even the same, right?
Still going to be held hostage to the price of fuel. And that's something that obviously you don't have with the renewable side.
That's not something that's going to help us or be beneficial to us in the future, will it be?
What, the fossil fuel side?
Yeah, but and also the 24 megawatt combustion turbine.
Well, it's going to help. It's going to help. The problem that we're faced with the total generation to supply the grid is if we have one issue, it might be a small thing, a small maintenance problem on one of the generators that are there now, and it goes down, that's when we're really in trouble. And that's what happened last year. Last year we had some of our generators that went down from BEC. And one cascaded into the next one, and before you know it, you have practically island wild. Not brownouts, but the blackouts.
But you say brownouts.
Yeah.
Why you say brownouts?
Brownouts is when they roll them, which means you still have some electricity, but not enough to supply.
Oh, not enough to supply.
Yeah.
So it's not total blackout.
Blackout is when everything goes dark in one go.
I mean, that's how it felt, though. Last summer, that's what it was.
That's what happened, yeah.
And we have a caller on the line. Caller, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Teej.
Good morning.
Good morning, JP.
Morning.
My good DNA friend.
Hey.
You know who this is.
Not really.
Okay. just a question for you.
Yeah, man.
Listening to the topic, uh-huh. You know, it's a very timely one, something that should have been, I think this matter should have been looked at some time ago from previous governments, but anyway, with the advancement of technology and everything, I guess everything comes in its own time, eh?
Yep.
All right. Just an interesting question from my end. What would you, as far as you can ascertain, what do you think it would take the Bahamas government, as far as BEC is concerned, in terms of the expenditure of moving the infrastructure from what we are experiencing now, from fuel oil, oil-based, to, let's say, solar panels? What do you think it would take for the conversion at BEC for that mechanism to happen, in terms of how much money is necessary, first of all, and then secondly, in terms of how easy to convert the present infrastructure to, let's say, to the solar infrastructure?
Well, it's a very good question, and let me try to answer it as good as I can. First of all, I can't put a dollar amount on it right now, because simply I've never run the numbers.
Definitely.
But I think solar as a for BEC, which means supplying the grid as a business, calling BEC, I don't think that's an option, because if you're looking at the amount of solar panels that you would need to supply all those megawatts, I don't think that's really, first of all, feasible on the financial side, and secondly, I don't think we have the space within the Bahamas to put enough solar panels up. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't go into the renewable side on the BEC power generation side.
Right.
There's umpteen ways of doing it. I'm sure we have some space in Andros, or we could find some space in Andros to put a windmill farm up. And I'm talking industrial-sized mills now. Or we still have